Well, good morning. Hey, just a quick announcement that I actually forgot to say last Sunday. Nancy has a shed apparently that has a bedroom set, a queen bed set, some pots and pans and some stuff like that. If anybody's looking for something, I believe it's located in Richmond, but we probably can get some help to get it out here. If you're interested in going down and looking at that, please talk to Nancy. She's sitting right over there. It's free. She's giving it away, so it'll just save her from going to Goodwill or doing anything else. So if anybody's looking for a queen bedroom set or anything like that, please feel free to talk with her and coordinate that. All right, today, if you can open up your books, your Bibles, to Romans chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17. And I titled this, Adopted Child of God. You know, last week, we looked at walking according to the Spirit. Paul let us know that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because once we believe, we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, we no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are no longer under the dominion of sin, and with that, we are free from the law of sin and spiritual death. And that we discussed in verse 2. And this was because the righteous requirement of the law was fulfilled in us because God sent his only Son to be that perfect sacrifice, thus taking our debt and punishment for our sin. And we saw that in verse 4. So now we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And with this now, our minds should be set on the things of the Spirit as we walk and live according to the Spirit. Paul also reminded us that the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. There is no submission or obedience, and we see that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We know, in fact, it is impossible to please God without faith in Jesus Christ. And this faith also removes our enmity with God, and we now are at peace with him. And with that peace comes what I'll call the occupying force of the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So as a believer, you have the Spirit of Christ. Paul went on to say in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That eternal life, eternal victory with Jesus Christ. So we saw last week that Paul described those two different kinds of people. One living by following the flesh. As all non-Christians do, unbelievers. The other was living by the Spirit of God, as we as Christians do. So let's read through these verses. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask you to open our hearts to what you have to tell us today. And Father, that we would have a deeper understanding of your Spirit, Father, and how it interacts in our lives. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together in fellowship. And we thank you for this building and the ability to meet here in this church and those who support us and help us here. Lord, we just lift them all up to you, Father, and we give you thanks in all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we received the Holy Spirit, and now in the Spirit, we have the promise of physical resurrection later by the power of the Spirit, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So you could look at it as Jesus paying our debt, and thus we have an obligation. We have a debt to pay, in a sense. But we are not a debtor to the flesh, or to live according to the flesh. So Paul here wants us to realize that we are not obligated to our flesh. We don't owe that old way of living anything. It is not who we are as Christians. Not any longer. In fact, God specifically calls us to abandon that lifestyle and to live in the power of God's Spirit. We should no longer practice or participate in sin or that selfishness anymore. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I'll read these few verses to you. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." In verse 13 he goes on, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Paul describing living according to the flesh as life outside of Christ. This is that worldly life of serving ourselves. Serving ourselves first and always. Those who live according to the flesh, they are not Christians. They cannot submit to God's law, and they cannot please God. Paul writes that if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Paul has made it clear in the prior passage that those who are in Christ do not, by definition, live according to the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh are the same group as those who are not saved, the unbelievers. And we know that faith in Christ gives us the Spirit of truth. Jesus made the promise of sending the Helper to his disciples, sending the Spirit of truth. In John chapter 14, in verse 15 through 17, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you." Paul stating that anyone who does not put their faith in Christ and change the course by the power of the Spirit will die. Now you can look at this as earthly consequences of sin, because the wages of sin are death. But I think Paul's main meaning here is a spiritual and eternal death. Paul continued on saying that if by the Spirit you kill off the sinful deeds of the body, you will live. Now, some will presume this to mean that a person who does not succeed in giving up all sin will not achieve eternal life. But that explanation does not fit what we've been learning, what we've learned so far from Paul. Rather, I believe this statement means that first, those who are in Christ will, by the power of God's Spirit, with us have a greater and greater success in putting our sinful desires to death, understanding that this killing off of our sins is possible only through the power of God's Spirit. It's not something we can achieve on our own. It's part of that process of sanctification. You're a baby Christian. You make mistakes, You recognize the mistakes you're making, you start to stop making them. But there are some sins that are addictive, and it's a fight, and you constantly have to put them aside. But over time, if you are in Christ, depending on the Holy Spirit, that will get less and less, and God will bring you through it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. As many, that's all the believers, all the children, all God's children. Jesus had said in John chapter 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit communicating with us. Sons of God, those mature Christians being led by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit leads. He leads every Christian. You know, I can think back when I used to work at McDonald's a long, long time ago. I had a friend. And most of you know, I never really went to church. I went to a Presbyterian church maybe once every 2-3 years or something like that. But it wasn't anything we did as a family. But my friend invited me to a church. And I said, all right, yeah, I'll go. So I went. I did not know at the time it was a Jehovah's Witness. I did not know what they meant or what they believed. But when I walked in the building, I knew something was wrong. I never went back. And I knew I should never go back to that again. The Holy Spirit, I believe, whether you're a believer or not, will guide you, will warn you of things to come. But if you're a believer, he will warn you. He will ensure that you don't go back to those things. You can be disrespectful of the Holy Spirit. You can say, that's too bad, I'm going to go do it. You have free will to do that. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will keep you away from those sins and all the deceitfulness that's out there. All who become God's children through faith.